Let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. And I just want to say as you turn there that being debt-free is not a termination point. It's actually an opportunity for us to continue to move forward and advance the kingdom of God. And you know, the Bible says, and Jesus said this to his disciples, to whom much is given, much is required. And it's very clear and it's very obvious that God is blessing our church in this season. And he is doing an incredible work in, you know, in the faith of his people. And I trust that as we step into a new year, that we'll step into this new year living with purpose, living with intent, living with discipline, and living diligently to do all that God has called us to do. And I believe that as we unpack this truth over the next several weeks, that maybe God will speak to your heart. Maybe God will define for you what it is that he wants you to do in this coming year. And I'm reminded of this constantly because, man, in the last 24 months, our lives have been upended in unprecedented ways. And I imagine that as we move forward, for many of us, there is a level of uncertainty. How are we supposed to move forward? What does this look like? What is my life supposed to be in it? And even in the normal ebb and flow of life, relationships, and all the things that go into that, oftentimes we experience setbacks and we experience things in our life that confuse us and are complex. And we're like, man, what is God doing? Because I didn't think this was a part of the plan. And I want to show you a passage of scripture today that regardless of what transpires in your life, regardless of what's going on, regardless of the things that you see and you're like, man, this can't be a part of God's plan. I want to show you a passage of scripture that we can anchor our lives to in moments of uncertainty and move through it. Even though we don't know the outcome, even though we're not controlling the outcome, we can move through it with a rock-solid faith in the promises of God. And who wants to hear that today? Say amen. Now, Romans 8, chapter 28, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now, some translations translate it this way, God causes all things to work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose and for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And then verse 31, he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I don't know about you, but I want to step into 2022 with purpose. And as we step into a new year, I want to challenge you to consider God's purpose for your life. What does God want to do in you? And what does God want to do through you in the next 12 months? What decisions do you need to make? What disciplines do you need to lay down? What direction do you need to begin moving toward in order to do and accomplish what God has for your life? Because the reality is that you will find no satisfaction, you will find no peace, and no real purpose until you lock in to God's purpose for your life. Until you make a decision to say, I'm going to move in the direction that God wants me to move. And I'm going to allow God to shape my heart. I'm going to allow God to shape my life. I'm going to allow God to direct the purpose of my life. Now, I'll be honest with you. This is often difficult to do. The idea of living with purpose. And so many people go through life living haphazardly, just reacting to everything that goes on in their life, rather than acting in accordance to the Word of God. Which is why I often say, I pray that we would become a people who govern our lives by the Word of God. And so many of us live by feelings rather than faith in the promises of God. And God has called us to so much more. We allow setbacks and we allow suffering and we allow all the different things in life to derail us and distract us from the ultimate end that God has for each and every one of you, each and every one of us. Now, I'll be honest, there have been seasons in my life where I've struggled with joy. I've struggled with with having peace. And I've struggled with having purpose, all because I did not fully pursue my God-given call, you'd think I was from the Ozarks. My God-given calling, I can't even get words out today. I'm so excited. My God-given calling in life. And you're going to struggle with joy. And peace is going to be elusive. And purpose is going to be out of reach when you're not pursuing God's calling. When you're not pursuing what God wants. And I've allowed at times, ashamedly so, distractions and even discouragement. Because we're all human. And we all face suffering. And we all face setbacks. And we all face brokenness in our life. And oftentimes we begin to focus on that and we lean into that rather than the promises and the faithfulness of God. And my thing this year, and I'm not real big on resolutions, but I want to be resolved not to allow distractions and discouragement to derail me from the purpose of God in my life this year. Because there's going to be folks that get mad at me. There's going to be folks that are going to get frustrated with me. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be disappointment. We live in a broken world. But I want my heart to be anchored to something that doesn't shift. Something that's big enough, something that's strong enough, that can bear the weight of what God has called me to do. Now, I imagine many of you have struggled really wondering what your purpose might be. What is it that God is calling you to do? What special purpose has God called you to personally pursue? And the Bible is very clear, and it emphatically states that no matter what we face, and no matter who we are, and some of you really messed your life up in 2021. Some of you have made some really boneheaded decisions, and you've walked down a path that you're like, man, if I had to do this over again, I wouldn't do it this way. I want you to know this morning that no matter what's come into your life in 2021, and no matter what decisions you've made, no matter how poor they have been, God still has a plan for your life. Amen? Because He works and He causes all things, not some things, all things to work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. And so the next time you're discouraged or maybe disillusioned, I just got done reading. I read through the Bible this year. I got reading through Job. And I mean, Job, man, I mean, what a messed up life, you know? Not once did he curse God. I mean, his own wife was like, Job, what did you do? Why don't you just curse God and die? How about that for a wife, right? What an encouragement, amen? Three friends. I mean, all three of his friends were like, what'd you do wrong, Job? Like, what'd you do to tick God off, right? I mean, his whole life, lost his kids, lost his all of his money, lost all of his way to making a living, lost his health. He still stood righteous and just obeyed God, and he followed him into the purpose that God had called him to. And so the next time you're discouraged or disillusioned, you can declare to yourself, and this is one of four declarations I'm going to give you over the next 4 weeks to help you determine God's purpose for your life. And here's declaration number one. I believe that God has a purpose for my life. Would you say that with me this morning? I believe that God has a purpose for my life. One more time. I believe that God has a purpose for my life. It doesn't matter if you're 8, it doesn't matter if you're 80. If you're drawing breath this morning, God has a purpose for your life. We often find ourselves in the middle of seasons of uncertainty, and with that comes a certain amount of doubt and what we're doing and what does the future hold and what am I supposed to do? And I believe the series is going to help direct your life. And instead of getting discouraged, we have the opportunity to depend on God. And instead of complaining or griping, like Derek mentioned this morning, which thank you for the pre-sermon, but instead of complaining and griping, we can move forward in faith. We can step into the future knowing that we serve a sovereign God who sits on a throne and knows all things, and in His omniscient wisdom, nothing slips past His gaze because He is watching. And so instead of getting discouraged, we can deepen our faith. And it's one thing to read this text. Many of us know this. Some of you probably have this passage somewhere in your home on a piece of artwork. And for many, it's a cliche or it's a platitude. And so when something befalls us, you usually will hear someone say, well, you know, God works all things. And sometimes you just want to crack somebody when they say it, right? I don't need to hear that right now. You know what I mean? Amen? Let's get real. But the reality is in those moments, when life is uncertain. In the momentary, day-by-day stuff, and even in the monumental seasons of life where we experience incredible loss, we can know that God works all things together for good. We can know that. And so it's one thing to believe it intellectually, and it's another thing to live it out with discipline. Many of us know this truth. Many of us have heard this passage preached before, but it's one thing to know it up here, and it's another thing to embrace it here to the degree that it informs our life, it informs the way that we live, it informs how we make decisions when we don't know what to do. And I want to be clear. Everything that happens to me, and this is a good place for an amen, everything that happens to me is not good, right? Everything that happens is not good. I was making a charcuterie board the other night. If you know what that is, you're kind of bougie, and that's cool, right? But I went to the store and bought some fancy cheese, some Gruyere, right? If you don't know what that is, go try it out. They have it at Price Cutter. Kevin works at Price Cutter, so help him out, right? I got some cheese, some nicer meat, not bologna and ham, you know. Got some nice meats, and I'm cut my finger the other night. That wasn't good, right? Hands bleeding all over the cheese, you know. It wasn't a good moment, right? And for many of you, there's a lot of things in life that happen that it's not good. But listen to this, and you might want to write this down. Everything that happens is not good, but God can use it for my ultimate good. Everything in life that happens is not good, but God can use it for my ultimate good. And the sooner that we understand this, the sooner that we can move forward with living with purpose. And so don't let the past hold you back. Like right now, many of you might be on the back end of a relationship that has ended. Maybe through a divorce, or maybe in a breakup, or maybe there's two friends that were once really close, and that relationship that was once sweet is now no longer. Maybe losing a spouse to a terminal illness, or maybe your kid's behavior. You know, maybe you're in the terrible twos, or the trying teens. I don't know. I don't know what they call them nowadays, but whatever it is, maybe kids not behaving well. Maybe it's a financial setback or a loss of job and hours or not getting the job that you want or not getting accepted to the school that you wanted to get into. No one wants to lose something that we love. And yet God works these events out to fulfill the purpose he created us for. In fact, he moves us. All of the things that happen in our life move us forward and brings us clarity. Now, theologically speaking, we need to understand that in our text today, God is actively involved in our salvation. He's actively involved in our calling. And God is actively involved in our purpose in this life. He's actively involved in all of it. He's there from the very beginning guiding us. Now, if you look in verse number 29, he says, those whom he foreknew. That word foreknew simply means this. God knows everything. Well, man, that's a lot to wrap my head around. I know. God knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows how much you can handle. He knows how much you cannot handle. God knows everything. He's already in your tomorrow. Can I get an amen? He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow morning on Monday as we step into this new year. The Bible goes on to say that he foreknew. He goes on to say that he predestined us. A lot of people get hung up on that word. Well, are you Calvinistic? Are you Arminian? Hey, man, here's what I know. That God did something for me in salvation that I could never do for myself. I realized that I was once dead in my sins, but he made me alive together in Christ. And so I tell people often I'm a Calvinist on my knees and I'm an Arminian on my feet. I don't know who's going to get saved, and I don't know what God is up to, but I'm going to tell as many people as I can about Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the call of every follower of Jesus. But the word predestined simply means decided beforehand. And that means this, that everything, and you might write this down today, everything that happens in your life, God is setting in motion the events in your life to do what he's called you to do. In fact, the Word of God teaches us that we are his workmanship, which means that we are a poem, a literary work in progress. And so like putting together a piece of music, God is orchestrating our life to put forth his masterpiece in us so that we can do what only we can do because he's called us to do it. And then he says he's called. He's called us. He called you by name. Aren't you thankful today that no matter how bad your life may be right now in this moment, that God called you by name by his mercy to save you? Amen? He called you by name. There was an old gentleman in a church I grew up in. I used to call him the White Ray Charles. He sang and he just had this gruffy voice, and he used to sing on the piano. Roy's would like this, but he'd sing from on the piano. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And friend, I want to tell you this morning, there's never been a moment in eternity past that you have not been on the mind of God. He called you by name. And then it says he justified you. Jesus Christ set you free from sin. And the moment that you were saved, you were simultaneously called into the mission of God, and you were called to live for a higher purpose. And so this morning we see in our text that we're destined. We're destined to live with purpose. We're destined to live for something of significance. And there are three truths this morning that affirm the declaration that I believe that God has a purpose in my life. And I want to give them to you this morning very quickly. And the first one is this: God is always at work in your life. God is always at work in your life. We know, and we are aware, listen, we know with a certainty, without any doubt, that God is at work in our lives. We don't have to wonder, we don't have to guess that God is actively at work in our lives. We have a certainty that we can anchor our life to. We know this, and a clarity comes to the purpose of your life when you recognize that a process is in place to lead you to your ultimate purpose that God has only for you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's exciting news. Amen? So no matter how messed up your life is in this moment, we can know that God has you in a process orchestrating your life to be everything he's designed it to be. And this passage makes some things clear that direct our hearts when life doesn't make sense. Because if God is always at work, we can know that no matter what happens to us, and no matter how difficult, and no matter how painful and how confusing, we can completely trust him. We can completely depend on him. God shapes us through everything that we face in this life. And I can't tell you why you went through a divorce this year. I can't tell you why you went down a path of sin this year. I can't tell you why you had broken relationships this year. I can't tell you why you didn't get into school that you wanted to, or you didn't get the scholarships that you wanted to, or why your boyfriend or girlfriend broke. I can't tell you all that. In fact, you may never know the answer to all those questions. But one thing that you can know is that God is shaping you through every single thing that you face in this life. And that no single event in life and no person holds the key to your purpose or your joy. Only God does that. Amen? No one, nothing stands in the way of your peace, purpose, and joy. The Philippians 1:6 says, I'm sure of this, Paul, the apostle, writing from a jail, says, I am aware of this, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Nothing is wasted on God. He never wastes a hurt. Everything is designed by God to help you know and discover and live out the calling that he has only for you. And it should come for us to know that God is in the process of fulfilling his work in our lives. He's ultimately involved in directing our lives into his purpose and into the purpose he's called you into. So first we see that God is always at work in your life. But secondly, God is moving you to his eternal high purpose. I believe that God has a purpose for my life. And that means that God is working at my life always and that he's moving me to his eternal high purpose. Now, regardless of who you are or where you are, or what you do in life, God is moving you to this purpose. And that purpose is this, and please write it down today, becoming or making you more like Jesus. That's it. God's main goal, God's main purpose is making you more like Jesus. God's design for your life is more about who you are becoming than what you are doing. And we're going to spend an insane amount of time dealing with this year. We're going to teach you the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we're going to spend about 26 weeks on those three chapters, the longest sermon in the Bible, Jesus' most clear presentation of what we're to be as disciples of Jesus Christ and as the church of the living God. And so God's design is more about who you are than what you do. Where you are, or what you do in life, God is always moving you to his eternal high purpose, and that's making you more like Jesus. And so no matter what transpires in life, the one goal that you can pursue, the one thing that you can do, no matter what happens to you, regardless of the circumstances surrounding you at that moment in your life, you can always pursue becoming more like Jesus. Man, you might be in a bad job situation. You might be in a bad school situation. You might be in a bad marriage. But the one thing that you can do is you can have peace and joy and purpose in the midst of all of it simply because you're pursuing becoming more like Jesus Christ. Instead of worrying about everything we can't control, we tend to do that. We worry about the outcome. We worry about controlling our kids. We worry about controlling our life and our finances. We worry about controlling other people, and we want to manage the outcome. And God's just very clear, that's not your job. Your job is responding to life in a way that reflects that Jesus Christ himself is in control of your life and not you. That's why this passage is so important, because God is at work always conforming you to the image of his Son so that you can live out the purpose and design for your life in the way in which you are always supposed to do. And God's purpose is more internal. This is in your notes today. It's more internal than it is external. We want to polish up the outside. We want people to think that we're really awesome at this thing called Christianity. And so we say, I'm a really good Christian. And I just feel like that's an oxymoron, because even on our best day, we all stand in the need of God's grace. Paul, man, like, wrote half the New Testament, planted churches in the unknown world at the time, and even he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Paul said that the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I'm doing, I don't want to do those. And then he goes on to say, man, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And he goes on to say even later in Romans chapter 8, there is now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. I imagine Paul really struggled to understand that he was now made righteous in Christ because of the cross, and needed to constantly be reminded that even though he was doing a lot of good things, what was happening on the inside of his heart mattered the most. You can come to church, you can give, and I certainly hope you do those things. I hope you tell people about Jesus Christ. I hope you serve in a ministry. I hope you bless your neighbors. I hope you serve them. But if your heart is not in the place that God wants it to be, you're missing the mark by 1,000 miles. You're missing it, because you can do all those things and still be a jerk. You can still do all those things and be self-righteous. You can still do all those things and go home and curse your kids and be mean to your wife, and you can go and treat your employees like garbage, but come to church and act like everything is okay. See, God's purpose is more internal than it is external. The more you focus on who you are, the more what you do comes into picture. And that's the goal. Worry about who you are. Worry about what God wants you to become. Worry about the heart work that needs to happen in your life. See, if you want to know what God has for your life, focus on who you are. If you really, really, really want to know what God has for your life, focus on who you are, and what you do will become clear. Focus on who you are. Focus on being like Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of a bad relationship, even in the midst of a financial setback, even in the midst of working for a crummy boss or a crummy company, even in the midst of all of those things, be a light that shines in the darkness. Be the one that points others to Jesus Christ, even though everything around you seems like it's falling apart. And then I want you to notice this last thought today, and that is this, is that God created you to live with his purpose on your mind. And I know this sounds a bit redundant, but God created you to live, and I just want to drive this home today. One point, I believe that God has a purpose for my life. I believe that. And part of that means that God created you to live with his purpose on your mind. He created you to live with God's eternal purpose always on your mind. That purpose is becoming more like Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, are you aware that God is at work? And how do you keep His purpose on your mind when you're going through a divorce? How do you keep His purpose on your mind when you lose your job? How do you keep His purpose on your mind when you find out you got cancer? How do you keep His purpose on your mind when you find out you got to move or some setback comes your way? How do you keep His purpose of becoming more like Jesus on your mind? Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? I love this, man. There's a lot of you in here today that come to me and be like, man, Jay, you're a horrible pastor. You're a horrible father. Man, you're a horrible this. And listen, you don't even know the half of it. I mean, I'm sitting on the front row today, and I got the privilege this morning of sharing with this church that we are now debt-free. And that's not because of my leadership. I called Nolan, the founding pastor, this morning, and he started a shouting hallelujah. I thought he's Pentecostal when I was on the phone with him this morning. And I was sharing the good news with him. And he shared with me the first five gifts that came into this church and how that whole ball got rolling for future generations in the building that we now see students and kids come to know Jesus every year in. Amen? And so the reality is, like, I'm sitting there on the front row and I'm thinking, where in the world did I ever find myself in a situation where God would allow me to be a part of anything good? How would I ever find myself in a place where God could use me? Because I know me. I know I can be a jerk sometimes. I know I can be very direct. I know I can be whatever. And so I look at this text and it reminds me that I can keep God's purpose on my mind, because who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? Because I'm not justified by you. I'm justified by Him. So when God sees me, He doesn't see my sin. He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. And I stand in the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Amen? So I stand in that. And I keep that on my mind, knowing that there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days. There are going to be sanctifying days and there are going to be sinful days. But all in all, I'm in a process with Him, and I'm keeping that on my mind, and I'm reminding myself of God's love. I'm reminding myself of God's purpose, His plan, and His process in my life. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed right now. Jesus Christ is interceding for you. He's praying for you for things that you don't even know you need. And God is at work in 1,000 different ways in your life right now, and you might only be aware of one or two. And so right now, Jesus Christ Himself is at the right hand of God praying for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We don't just glaze over that. Man, God loves you. God loves you in your messiness. God loves you in your brokenness. God loves you in your merit. God loves you in all these different areas that you're failing at. God loves you. And when you do good, He celebrates you. And when you fail and when you fall, He's right there with open arms to pick you up, to move you in the direction that you need to go. He's guiding you in His grace. He goes on to say, for I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when you go doubting, man, how am I going to do what God's called me to do? Man, I've fallen pretty hard this year. I've messed up my marriage. I've messed up my friendships. I've messed up my job. I lost this or I lost that. The one thing you haven't lost is the love of God on your life. And no matter what happens in your life, And no matter what you lose, and I'm not saying loss is something that we love, but sometimes it's necessary for God to complete his purpose in our life. So my life is to be lived in pursuit of one goal, one thing, becoming and living like Jesus. And no matter what role or what job I have, no matter where I live, or what education I have, I can devote my life to pursuing the life of Jesus Christ. And making a decision to keep his purpose on my mind will guide you in this purpose no matter what your situation, no matter what your dilemma that you find yourself in. Paul said in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Is your heart and mind set on the truth of God? Is his word, like, is the word transforming you from the inside out? When your mind and focus is on God's purpose of becoming like Jesus, everything has significance because it's moving you to his high eternal purpose. God has destined you to live with purpose, and that begins with this declaration. Say it with me. I believe that God has a purpose for my life. One more time. I believe God has a purpose for my life. The moment that you begin to embrace this truth for yourself is the moment that it begins to transform your heart. You'll see life differently. You'll see it with more purpose. You'll see every setback as a setup and every obstacle as an opportunity. Your life, designed by God, has purpose. Now walk in that this year. Walk in that this year. And I ask each of you this morning, because I don't know, there's a few guests that are here today. But I want to ask you this morning, have you accepted the call to follow Jesus? Because if you haven't, man, you're missing out on the best life that God has for you. And for those of you that have accepted the call to follow Jesus, do you believe that God has a purpose for you? Some of you are a bunch of wallflowers, you know? Some of you are just kind of going through the motions. And I'm not being rude. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to be, well, I'm in your face. That's just the way it is sometimes. Amen? But I wouldn't be a good preacher of the gospel if I didn't call you up to higher living. Amen? And so sometimes, some of you are just, you're kind of floating. And I'm just kind of doing this thing, kind of going through the motions. What a wasteful way to live your life when there is so much more that God wants to do in your life this year. Are you devoted? Are you disciplined to fulfilling your purpose? So I want to encourage you today. I love being in church on the first day of the year, the first Sunday of the year. You know why? Because it's an opportunity to start new. The Bible says that his mercies are new each day, and they extend from generation to generation. And I don't know about you, but I want to start the year at the altar. I want to give this year to God. I told a friend of mine this week, I said, you know, this has been the hardest year that I can remember in some time of ministry that I've had. It's been the hardest year of ministry, but it's been the most blessed year of ministry. It's been hard on our family. It's been hard on our kids. It's been hard on our marriage. All the transitions, the pandemic, all of it, it's been a challenge. But I know this, I've been in process all year long. And while there might have been setbacks, God's setting us up. He's setting me up for something good. He's trying to do something in me so that he can do something through me. And I want to be at the altar this morning. And I want to give this year to God. I want to start. There's been a lot of mistakes I made last year, a lot of things I said, a lot of things that I've done, a lot of things I wouldn't do again. And I want to move with discipline. I want to move with directive purpose that I'm going to live this year all in for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you to join me in that prayer this morning as we begin our worship time together. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? How many of you say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know for certain I'm right with God. I'm forgiven of my sins. And I know that if I were to slip out into eternity today, that heaven is my home. Would you lift your hands and just let me see that as a way of testimony today? Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I'm uncertain that I'm a follower of Christ. I don't know that I've been forgiven of my sins. I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that if I were to slip out into eternity today, that heaven is my home. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone that's like that that's in here today? Let me pray with you this morning. Anyone at all? Now, how many of you would say, I want to believe that God has a purpose for my life. I want to live in that purpose this year. I don't care about the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years of my life. I want to live 2022. I want to give it to God, and I want to live with purpose, and I want to live with direction for him. Would you lift your hand and let me pray with you and over you this morning? Would you all stand to your feet? Many hands today. Father in heaven, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to pastor this wonderful church. Thank you, God, for letting me be a part in such a small way of anything eternal, anything significant. And God, I just often am amazed that I get to do what I get to do. I'm amazed that I got to lead several folks and point them to Jesus Christ this year. And God, I pray for more of that. I pray for that in Southgate this year, that we would see 100 lost people walk the aisle this year and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. That this church in the coming year would be filled with the people that were once walking in darkness, but now they're walking in light. Because we want to be a people of faith. We want to be a people with purpose. We don't want to waste this one life that you've given to us. I pray that you teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. We'd live well, that we'd live wise, that we walk cautiously and circumspectly in everything that we do. And Father, stir our hearts this morning. Let the Holy Spirit meet with us in these moments that we have together today, because this could be a major decision for many of us how to live our lives in the coming year. And I just pray, Lord, that we would respond with sensitivity to the Holy Spirit today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On this first note this morning, very few hands weren't raised today. I want to encourage you this morning, like before we sing a note, if God spoke to you today, would you step forward and come and give this year to God? Would you say, God, I want my life to be used. I don't want to waste it, but I want to live with directional purpose this coming year. I want to encourage you to do that as we sing together this morning.